Well, thank you all for being here. Thank you, families who support veterans and you veterans as well. Our actual journey started about almost 5 years ago, and a part of that journey started actually here in this church. Jeffrey Phillips, our son, has attended this church as long as we have, and it was probably 4.5 or 5 years ago where I actually sent him to Pastor Bob to talk him out of joining the Marines. And Pastor Bob actually, no, really, just to confirm with Jeffrey that he wanted to join the military for the right reasons. And after consulting with him and praying with him, Jeff felt that that was the best choice. To this day, Jeff actually feels like he somehow was tricked into joining the Marines because he went to join the Army. And the Army guy, the recruiter, wasn't there, and the Marine guy said, come on over here, and talked him into the Marines. So about 4 years ago, our journey started as a family in how we were dealing with and processing having a son in the military during a time of war, during two wars. I won't give you the entire history. I'll just share a little bit about where our challenges have faced us and then what actually many of you have done to help support our family through these challenges. In January, Jeffrey deployed for his second deployment since he's been a Marine. The first one was in Iraq, and then he just deployed to Afghanistan. He got home in August of this year. But in January, we found out that through the troop buildup in Afghanistan that Jeffrey was going to participate in the Battle of Marja, and some of you have followed the details about that. But in February, he participated in the largest Marine battle and initiative in Afghanistan since we invaded that country almost 10 years ago. He was part of a task force that actually helicoptered into and dropped into the center of the city of Marja. And Marja is in southern Afghanistan. It's a part of the Helmand province and happens to be one of the largest Taliban strongholds in all of Afghanistan. So there was lots of warning that was given to the community of Marja. They dropped flyers, leaflets, and of course intelligence was there telling the citizens to leave the city. Jeff's company, which is made up of about 200 Marines, dropped into, on the day of the invasion of Marja, the center of the city. And as I was telling Bob Keller, they were really the strike force that started this battle. And the whole initiative was drop into the city of Marja, engage the Taliban there, and as the Taliban were focusing their attention on Kilo Company that Jeff was a part of, a pincer movement ensued from the remaining 7,000 or 8,000 Marines to surround the Taliban and attack them and with the mission of kill them. Jeff and his company of 200 Marines and about 70 Afghanistan National Army were surrounded and completely cut off for approximately 4 days. Now, we're watching all of this simply by following the news. There is no communication, there's no information. And as you can imagine, as Dan was saying, hearing this and waiting for information and watching the internet to see if there's any pictures of our son was incredibly trying. And but for the Lord helping him and us get through it, I'm not sure how we would have. As a result of the initiative, after about 30 days, we finally heard from Jeff. So we went, actually, it's probably closer to 3 weeks without hearing from him, knowing what was going on there. And it really was trying. It was incredibly difficult knowing that your beloved son was in harm's way for that entire time, and yet trying to trust the Lord, that the Lord was in control. After 3 weeks or so, they secured most of the area, and then most of the Battle of Marja then ensued over the next couple of months with smaller engagements after that took place. But that really wasn't why I'm here to talk to you all. One of the things Pastor Bob asked me to share of what it meant to us and our family to have the support of others praying for our son during this period of time. I can tell you, having worked many, many years in a large corporation and having lots of non-Christian folks that I interact with, that there's a real significant difference when you talk to someone who is a Christian and who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ and someone who doesn't. Typically, as you've all experienced this, when you're talking to someone who isn't a Christian, they say things like, we'll keep a happy thought for you, or we'll think good about what's happening there. And it's rare that you hear from a non-Christian to say, we'll pray for you. And if they do say they'll pray for you, what that really means is we're keeping a happy thought for you, because they don't really fully engage and understand what praying is all about, right? With as much grace as you can, when you respond to those people, you say thank you and you really appreciate their concern, but it doesn't give you the same level of support and, frankly, the same level of comfort as when a fellow Christian who has the same relationship with Jesus as you have is actually there praying for you on your behalf and interceding on your behalf. One of the things that I struggled with is, here is my son and our whole family is praying for him, but really, what is it that we do to influence the Lord? And coming to this kind of dilemma of, God is sovereign and knows what's going to happen, and yet he asks us to pray. So what is my influence going to have over him? And so I wanted to read just an excerpt from a book actually written by John MacArthur. It's called Alone with God. It talks a lot about prayer, but one of the things that struck me that he writes in this book is, it says, "The Bible is unequivocal about God's absolute sovereignty. Yet, within his sovereignty, he commands us to exercise our responsible wills in certain areas, including beseeching him in prayer. If God did not act in response to prayer, Jesus' teaching about prayer would be futile and meaningless, and all commands to pray pointless. Our task is not to solve the dilemma of how God's sovereignty works with human responsibility, but to believe and act on what God commands us about prayer." So I came to this conclusion that we have to pray. God wants us to pray. How do we influence him? I don't know. I'm not sure if anyone does, but he still calls us to pray. And one of the experiences that Jeffrey had was, every time we heard from him, we would share with him, "You've got people praying for you, Jeff." And that was probably the most meaningful thing that we could do for him. Yes, we sent him boxes. We sent him stuff to help get through the day with the crummy food that he had and the goat that he was eating while he was there. But those things all were just comforts that occasionally helped him get through his day. But really, I think what was the most meaningful hint for him was the prayer that he was receiving and the prayer that we were receiving as a family. This church, I think many of you probably saw it in the bulletin, we're praying for Jeffrey. Many, many of you came up and told us you were praying for him. Pastor and the church staff would send us cards telling us that they were praying for him. And we calculated that probably between our church here and my pastor, brother pastor's church in Camarillo, that and Jeff's school and teachers and everyone, that there were well over 1,000 people praying for him on a regular basis. And I don't know how that works. I really don't know how that works and how that influences God. But for us, it was meaningful that we had the support of family and friends. Jeff felt the support of family and friends. And when we look at what he experienced and the losses that some of his friends, that he had with losing some of his friends, his battalion had a number of casualties, a number of young men killed, a number of his friends, many whom he knew were injured or killed. And frankly, his company, which was in the center of Marja, surrounded by the Taliban for 4 days cut off, had the least number of casualties and killed in action of anyone in the entire battalion. So did God do that? I believe so. Did he protect Jeffrey? I believe so. When so many of his friends and people that he knew in the Marines were killed or injured, he was protected. His mom asked him on that first phone call, "Have you had any close calls?" And he said, "No." And then I got on the phone and he started laughing, and he said, "What do you think I'm going to tell her?" He had many, many bullets whizzing by his head, exploding on buildings next to him, bombs going off, people shooting at him, him shooting at people, and yet God protected him through that because he chose to do that. And you all and the prayers of family and friends helped us get through that, helped our family get through that, and we really believe kept Jeffrey safe throughout that time. So anyways, that was our experience. Thank you all for your support. We appreciate it.